it, then I'm afraid that you're dead. And I'm not talking in the physical sense, I'm talking in the spiritual. We've allowed the world around us to stifle our praise and our worship. And it's quiet in here. Amen. All right. We've allowed the world to stifle our praise and our worship. Because they get loud at a basketball game or a football game, and we can get loud with them, but when it comes time to coming to the house of God, we forget how we're supposed to worship. And I think the reason is what I'm going to preach on here in a little bit, is because we're leaving something out. We're coming in our own idea of how the service should go. We come in and with our own mindset of how things should operate. We come in automatically already predetermining how the Spirit of God should or should not move. It's because a lot of times we come clothed in our own mind. Amen. I'm going to preach on this here in just a little bit. Amen. I don't want to waste too much time on my introduction. I want to get right on into the Word of God. Turn to it with me to Matthew chapter number 22 and verse number 1. Amen. For too long we've allowed the devil, amen, to allow us to look around and see all the other things, amen, that other people are doing. And it determines our actions and our attitude. But when it comes to serving God, church, all of those things should go off to the wayside, and the only thing should matter is what He requires and requests from me. Because guess what? Who are we on this earth to serve? Not the man and the men and women around us, because they are not going to save us, amen, and they have not prepared a place for us in eternity. But Jesus Christ Himself said that He had to go so that He could prepare us a place. So I think it's time that we begin to realize and refocus, amen, our purpose, amen, as saints of God. Matthew chapter number 22 and verse number 1. And it says here, and Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. I want to stop here for just one second. Amen. All of those that are saved are invited to this wedding. All of those that have accepted, amen, the saving grace of Jesus Christ, amen, that come to the altar and say, Lord, I know that You died and went to the cross for me. They're invited to that marriage to be a part of the bride. But if we do not follow through, we will be cut out. We find here that they would not come. And again, He sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My ox and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their way, one to his farm and another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully, and slew them. I want to stop here for just a minute. I want us to realize something in this verse. Is that not only one invitation was gone out, but yet we find that a second has a desire, amen, for these people to come to the marriage, to come to the feast. I'm here to tell you tonight that when we come to the house of God, that Jesus Christ has already prepared, amen, us a place. Prepared for us a feast. Amen. We've been out in the world all this week. He's come to renew us, to refresh us, and to revive us. So many times He gives us that invitation, and we simply sit back and say, I've got too many other things that are going to occupy my mind. That's going to occupy, amen, my worship. But I'm here to tell you tonight that we've been given one more chance here yet tonight. Before I read on any farther, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, God, we thank You, God, for Your presence. God, that You came to visit us here yet once again tonight. I pray that You'd help our hearts God, in our minds to be stirred, God, that we would awaken, God, that we would begin to shake ourselves, not allow the world, God, the things about this world to stifle, God, our worship, our praise, God, and our duty towards you. God, I pray that you would awaken, God, in this generation. God, a worshiper, God, praisers, God, those that would seek after you, God, with everything that is in them. God, I pray that you would help us here tonight. God, that you would draw us to these altars, God. I pray that you touch my mind, my lips, God, that I would, God, bring forth the words that you laid upon my heart. God, that you'd be given all the glory, the honor, and the praise. And the church says, amen. You can be seated here tonight. We find that there had been all the preparations had been made. And yet no one wanted to come. Everybody had an excuse. But Larry, there are excuses for everything in this day and hour. Everything. When it comes time for worship, I'm just too tired. Well, I was tired too. But I don't let it hinder you. You can't let it hinder you. We can say, well, I just had a bad day. We've all had bad days. Jesus had a host of them. You know, you got to think. You know, he had a whole bunch of boys that were trying to slay him when he was in the house of God one time because of some things that he said. He didn't let that hinder him. He went out and continued to spread the gospel. Whenever we get bad news, a lot of times we allow it to hinder us. And we wonder why in all of these other countries, amen, Brother Jason, that men and women are being healed and revival is breaking out and all this miraculous things are happening over there. It's because they have no other option but to give all to someone that gave something to them. So many times we come into the house of God and something is offered to us, but we refuse it because we have something else that's on the table. If we would begin to come into the house of God with an attitude of I've got to serve Him, I've got to lift Him up because of what He's brought me through, I'm here to tell you that I started off with a bad day. I was on my way to Arkansas and I had a blowout. But I'd been listening to preaching and singing all morning long. But Larry Joshua, you know what? I was sweating. I was hot. I was on the side of the road. And Brother Jason was now. Everything that is in that trunk had to all come out so I could get the donut out. So I'm sweating. And I wanted to get frustrated. But Pastor, I couldn't. I just smiled. And I don't know why. I mean, I do know why, but I was like, I stopped myself and was like, there's nothing to be happy about here. But I'm unloading all my tools. Anybody that's ever seen the trunk of my car is a lot of tools. Might be why, part of the reason the tire might have popped. I don't know. I get everything unloaded. Well, Jonathan and I get the donut out. And I set it on the ground and I squeeze it and it's pretty much flat. And I was like, Lord, you're going to have to help me get this to where I need to go. Long story short, the Lord provided. I was able to make it to my destination to get another tire with every last penny that I had in my wallet. But thank the Lord, this old boy hadn't had nobody for 2 days. I'm serious. It was amazing. Because most people are just like, well, this is what it is and that's what I've got to have. This guy said, well, how much you got left? You know, I kind of felt like, Brother Sheffy, you know, he's like, got any $4 horses? Said, you got any $17 tires? You know, the guy didn't have a card machine or I'd have paid that way. Didn't have no change. This is what I got to have. He said, sure, that'll work. I haven't had no customers in 2 days. And he only had one tire that was going to work. I couldn't do nothing but smile again. Because the Lord is faithful. Because he's faithful, amen, whenever we come up against struggles and problems and situations and things that seem impossible, we should show him just a little bit of faith and trust in him. Amen. Faith stops, another option is considered. So many times we have our table laid out with options. God is the very last one. What would happen if he would be the first one? That's why men and women, amen, overseas are seeing healing and miracles, because they have nothing else. Amen. We find here that these people felt that they had another option. Because they said, we find here in verse number 3, he sent them out and they said, they basically said, we're not coming. We find that he sends the messengers out, the servants out again, and they made light of it, which means they joked about it. Said, ah, doesn't matter. We'll see them next Sunday in church. We don't have to go to the marriage supper because we're going to be there. We've already prayed. But I'm here to tell you tonight, church, there's something that we're leaving out. Holy Ghost, help me, Lord. There's something that we're leaving out. We find later on in verse number 6 that the servants went out and they begin to entreat them, begin to try and tell them and reach out to them yet once again. And we find that they spitefully, and then they slew them. A lot of times when the messengers come and give us a message from the Lord, amen, straight from the throne room, because it touches too close to one of our nerves, we simply shove it off and get rid of the messenger, amen, cut it out of our life, because we say, I don't need it. I'll listen to the preacher next week. Maybe it's something that will make me feel better, but I'm here to tell you tonight that in order to get rid of the sickness, it sometimes got to be treated, and the treatment's not always pleasant, but we've got to begin to allow God to deal with us. Or else we'll be just like these men and women. We'll be left out in the cold. Amen. In our homes, in our lives, we'll begin to go up in flames. We find in verse number 7. And when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. And he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their cities. Sometimes we wonder, things just keep getting worse. You know, God does judge us on this earth. We're also going to have a judgment over on the other side. But sometimes he puts blockades in our way that test us. And they try us, not tempt us. Because he's trying to change our direction. He's not a forceful God. He's a merciful God. Which is the reason that he places these things in our lives. Because he wants to see us as overcomers. He doesn't want us to simply be devoured by that lion that's seeking about whom he may devour. You know, I've got a little white and gray cat at the house that likes to think it could devour me, Sister Betty. Around every corner I walk around. Guess what, Sister Kathy? That cat's there. And it hisses and it snaps and it scatters across the yard, hissing the whole way. You know, I think that cat, if it was big enough, it'd probably try and get me. But it knows I'm bigger. I'm here to tell you, because of what we have through Jesus Christ, we are bigger than the devil. We are greater, amen, than all of the little minions that he could begin to send, amen, to try and destruct us, bring destruction to our life. Because we have Jesus Christ, because we have power in the Holy Ghost, we're able to stand flat-footed, amen, and be able to fight the lion because of the power of God that we have. We find in verse number 9, it says, go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid them to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. I want us to think about that for just a second. Bad and good. Because guess what? Jesus Christ, he wants all to come. He has an open door because he knows whenever they come into his house, they are going to have a raiment change. They are no longer going to be known as the sons and daughters of this world, but they're going to be known as the sons and the daughters of the kingdom because of what he has for them. He has a desire to see them changed and brought into a new light and a new life. Amen. Since I'm here at this point, amen, this is both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. I'm going to stop right here for just a second. I'm going to give you my title. Title is simply this: Arrayed for the King. That word arrayed in the Greek means set in order, or dressed, or adorned by dress. See if I can get this out of here. You all seen what I was wearing before I put this on. But now you can't tell much about it. What has it done? It has changed my appearance. It's also going to be very warm. But I have now been changed. Whether I was good, bad, or indifferent, whenever I put this on, you don't know. This shirt could have, if I had it buttoned up across here, it could be full of holes, tattered and torn. But the garment that is provided, amen, that Jesus Christ himself died and went away so that it could be sent. Hallelujah. It does not matter who you are, what you look like, because the power of God can begin to change you into what he wants you to be. We find here in verse number 10 that it was furnished with guests. And the king came in to see the guest. He saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. Which means there was more than enough that was provided. Amen. He had more than enough that was provided for every guest. When everyone came in, they were issued a new uniform. Whenever we come into the house of God, we should be coming in with our uniform. Amen. We should be coming in with the power of God upon our shoulders. We should begin to take the problems that the world has given us and hang them on the coat rack and leave them at the door, because you're here that God might be able to deliver, might be able to strengthen and bring forth power in your life. He saw him not wearing a wedding garment. That word garment means induo in the Greek, which means in the sense of sinking into a garment. That's what I did when I put this on. Sunk into it. Kind of disappeared. Very thinning, ain't it, Brother Jason? Looks like I've been on a diet now. Means to invest with clothing, literally, or array. Clothe, or have put on, or where we get our word endued, also comes from this root word. Enduo also means endued. I am now endued with this cloak. Amen. What we find here is that the cloak, the garment was provided. I'm here to tell you tonight, church, a garment was provided for you at the door. But you made a choice either to put it on or to leave it where it was. And the Holy Ghost of God was sitting there waiting to pass it out, saying, here, won't you put this on? So many times we come in, we say, no, I'm comfortable in what I'm wearing. It's cooler, it's nicer, it's more comfy. I'm here to tell you, comfortable doesn't matter. All that matters is that we get to Jesus, that he's able to touch and deliver us and bring us forth. So that we can be used by him. Verse number 12. He saith unto him, friend. You know, whenever you meet somebody on the street, do you call him friend? This word here tells us something. He was known. Holy Ghost of God. Church, it's just us home folks here tonight. This is your home church. You are known. But Larry Joshua, you are known. Whenever you come into the church house and you're not putting on the garment that God has provided, your neighbor might not see it, but God in heaven does. And whenever we don't use what He provides to bring us relief, to bring us strength, to bring us deliverance, it saddens Him. We find in James, a man that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. If you're refusing and buffeting up against the Holy Ghost, amen, and begin to stifle out the Spirit of God in your life, amen, you are, amen, running from God and you are committing a sin. All it takes is one sin to separate you from the kingdom of God. Not the love of God. I want you to understand that. Not the love of God, but the kingdom of God. Say, well, He's a forgiving God. Yes, He is. But if we continue to just say, well, He's forgiving, I'll get it next time. I'll wait till revival comes around. I'm here to tell you, the Spirit of God's been moving around here. Amen. These last few services, last few months. Amen. Even here tonight. Amen. Felt the power and the presence of God, but so many times we just sit on our hands, amen, and allow the devil to sit on our shoulder and say, wait till Sunday, amen. There's some of us here tonight that might not make it to Sunday. That's why the devil continues to tell you that, because he knows you're going to go outside, get in your vehicle and drive home. And accidents happen every day, every night. You say, well, I'm a defensive driver. That you might. But the guy that's coming at you, he may not be. He may not be defensive. He may not be observing where he's going. That's why we've got to pay attention. Come in those doors. What are the world's problems at the door? The spirit man is all that's going to remain. It's either going to go to heaven or it's going to go to hell. And he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. I'm going to preach on that for just a minute. I know I'm taking some time on the scripture, and we're going to speed up here in a little bit. He was speechless. Come around here and I say, Titus, why didn't you get in tonight? He could say, nothing. Speechless. I'm just picking on him because he's easy to pick. Why didn't you get in? You didn't anything from God tonight. We can ask people that question. 99% of the time, they're either speechless or they'll have an outlandish excuse. I didn't feel good. You know, whenever we don't feel good, who are we supposed to call on? The elders of the church. So that they might, what? They may anoint us with oil. Pray for us. We wonder why so many times our church services and the worship service has no life. You have one or two people that's willing to get in. It's all across America in the churches today. You usually have 3 to 5 people that's excited about it. Usually your musicians and the pastor and the assistant pastor. Sometimes that's it. That's sad. And you know why that is? Because they're not wearing the garment. We're living in the last days, church. We are not promised tomorrow. We're not promised the next minute. If God, amen, God's trump was to sound, how many of us would remain in our seats? And that's heart-wrenching to me, Sister Pepper. Because I know that I've got to be ready. And if I want to be ready, then I've got to live ready. And if I'm going to live ready, Brother Larry, I've got to fulfill, amen, the Word of God. Amen. We find in verse number 13, and then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Sounds like a vacation spot, don't it? Don't you want to go to that terrible city? No. We want to go to that great and glorious city where there's worship. Glory and honor and praise there. If we want that to go there, then we've got to begin having a garment change. Amen.
Verse number 14 says, "For many are called, but few are chosen." We find that all those that had been called, church, refused. We are the promise of God. We are His promised children. But if we don't wake up, shake up, and begin to change our raiment, we will be the ones that are sitting outside as the, amen, we find, we read in the story of the 10 foolish virgins. Find that that there was 5 of them that was foolish. Left out in the cold. Because they weren't prepared. Come on, church. Amen. For many are called, but few are chosen. Which are you? Are you the ones that are simply sitting idly in the pew, saying, "I've served my time. I've already prayed. I'm good to go"? I'm here to tell you, church, it's a garment. The Holy Ghost, what I'm talking about, if you haven't caught on yet. Holy Ghost is a garment. It's something that we put on, and we can also put off just as easily. Say, "Well, I'm done with it for now. I'll pick it up next Sunday. I'll pick it up midweek. I'll pick it up whenever I feel like it." I'm here to tell you, church, it's not an option. There's a lot of churches in this world today that says the Holy Ghost is an option. Jesus said, "I've got to go away that I can send the Comforter." Amen. I'm fixing to read this here in just a second over in Luke, the promise. But before I do, I want to read 1 Kings chapter 19. Give you a second to turn there. 1 Kings chapter number 19. "So he departed thence, found Elisha the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast the mantle upon him." That word mantle, guess what it means? It means garment or goodly array, raiment. Amen. Brother Jonathan, come here for just a second, buddy. All right, plow down the field here. Come start right here so I can... All right, you're plowing. Plow down that direction. The man of God simply came, put his garment upon him, and walked the other way. We find that Elijah, amen, simply just placed it. He placed it upon Elisha. Thank you, Brother Jonathan. You can just set it back there. And Elisha came running after Elijah and said, "What I do to you?" I'm here to tell you that when the power of God, amen, He has a desire to clothe you. He has a desire to see you arrayed in the proper garment. Amen, church, we wonder why miracles aren't happening, because we're not properly clothed in the Holy Ghost. We don't have an ounce of faith because we left our faith garment behind. He said, "I had enough faith to get saved, and that's all I needed. I had enough faith to get full of the Holy Ghost once, and that's all I needed. I had faith enough to get Holy Ghost a couple times this year, and that's all I needed." I'm here to tell you tonight, church, we can't blame it on being shy. We can't blame it on, "Well, I just don't like socializing. I don't like being around church people. I don't like worshiping God and making myself a spectacle." We need to go back and read the Word of God of how men and women are supposed to worship. Amen. They are supposed to be energetic. They are supposed to be excited about what God's done. Not what kind of week they had. They throw the week at the door and they begin to worship and glorify God. Amen. And begin to allow the praise of God begin to be moved. And that's when the garment begins to be changed. We find in 2 Kings chapter number 2 and verse 13. At this point, we find that Elisha had been following Elijah for some time. And Elijah had the cloak back. Verse 13 says, "He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him." This is after Elijah had ascended in the fiery chariots from him, "and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him," the same mantle that was thrown about his shoulders. Amen. The same one that he familiarized himself with already before once. Amen. You know, it was his job that when the man of God went into the house. You know, it was Elisha's job to take him home. He was basically a servant. When we come to the house of God, we need to slip on our servant shoes. Amen. We need to begin to put on, amen, our wardrobe, amen, that God has provided for us. Amen. Sometimes we've got to begin to just keep working in the ditch. Amen. Even though we've not been given the promise fully yet, we've got to begin to grab a hold of what God, amen, Elisha had already been given the promise. This is exciting. I don't know about you. I'm excited about this. He'd already been thrown upon him. The promise has already been given. We've been given the promise. Amen. Jesus Christ, when he left, he said, greater things than these shall ye do. Amen. We've already been given the promise. He's just waiting, amen, to get to endue us, to fill us, to fulfill, amen, what he has promised to us. After Elijah goes up into the clouds, hallelujah, the mantle fell and Elisha goes over to the river, amen, and smites the water, amen, and said, where is the God, amen, of Elijah? And the waters parted. He took that point and no longer carried the mantle, but he wore the mantle. Oh, hallelujah. I wish you could get a hold of it like I've got. Amen. He's got a, amen, a mission and a plan for us. Amen. Calvary Lighthouse Ministries, amen, is no longer, amen, staying here in this little building. We're fixing to change locations. We've got to begin to grab a hold of what God has provided. He said, you no longer have to just carry it, Pastor, but we're going to get to wear it. Amen. We're going to wear it. We find in Luke, amen, chapter number 24, it says, and behold, I send the promise of my Father, amen, upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. That's why it's important that we pray. Whenever you're praying, you know what you're doing? You pray for a little bit. You tell God, Lord, I want you to be used. Then we cease for a little while. What are we doing? Sister Kathy, waiting on you. Let me tell you a little secret. Don't tell nobody. Amen. I know Facebook's on. Amen. Shh. Whenever you don't hear from him in your prayer time, that doesn't mean he doesn't have a position or a place for you in the service. That's when you come and get engaged in praise. Because guess what? Whenever we find that the children of Israel begin to lift up and edify the name of the Lord, what happened? He showed up! We wonder sometimes, well, the Lord just ain't moving here tonight. Just not going to do anything. If we would begin to be excited, amen, and begin at our wings, allow the praise of God to fly from our mouths. Amen. And begin to lift our hands. Amen. Even begin to get a little bit excited. London, when she hears music, she gets excited. What would happen if two or three of us would get as excited as she is? Because guess what? All it takes is two or three, amen, gathered together in his name. Amen. And the Lord will begin to move. It don't take all of you to get God to move. It just takes a couple of us, amen, that are willing, amen, to move and allow God to glorify and be gloried inside of us. We find in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, and says, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Amen. We've already received. Amen. We've seen the power of God fall in here Sunday night as the young men. Amen. We're worshiping and speaking in tongues. Amen. Some of us sometimes, I'm afraid, get kind of scared of it. It's like, man, if I get close to that, what's going to happen to me? I've seen it. Best thing that we can do, church, is if your child is down there praying in the Holy Ghost, get down there and get some too. Because they begin to spill over. Begin to reassure. Next thing you know, takes that childlike faith. Because London, I can ask her anything. I say, hey, can you do that? And she will try. Somebody come in here and say, man, I've been blind for 25 years. But the child of God that is full of the Holy Ghost, that's not impossible. I have seen bones that were broken put back in place. I have seen, amen, men and women that have had issues in their life, amen, without any other, amen. The doctors couldn't do anything. They said it's hopeless, it's helpless. and God heal and touch. I can remember Brother Rawson up in Kansas City. He used to tell this story quite often whenever I'd come in contact with him. He would tell the story of a young boy that's foot was, it was a couple inches shorter than the other, and how the power of God was moving. Spirit of God was moving, and the pastor, amen, was, they were all praying and being ministered to, and all of a sudden somebody grabbed him and took him up, amen, to the front of the church and set him up on the pulpit, and they began to pray, amen, and guess what? That young man, amen's foot began to grow, amen, because the Spirit of God was present to heal. He's also, amen, when the presence of God is there enough to save, he's there enough to heal. When he's there enough to heal, amen, he's well enough to begin to bring life back from the dead. So many times we hang our garment up on the coat rack right next to the garment that God has provided. We say, nope, I'm just here to check out, to see what somebody else can work up for me. I've worked up a sweat for you. Amen. Hallelujah. But we find when it was fully come, amen, Acts chapter number 2, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind and filled the house, and they, amen, they were sitting there. They were waiting. That doesn't mean that's what we're supposed to do. We've already received the promise. We've got to begin to be active now. We're supposed to go and be witnesses, amen, to be, amen, those that are going out, amen, and receiving and seeing God do miraculous works. We find that they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen. I'm going to jump back to Matthew, and I'm fixing to close here in just a minute. Matthew chapter number 22 and verse 32 says, this is in the same portion of Scripture where the parables was that I just read. It says, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Hallelujah. That means that we're supposed, amen, to be living. We're supposed to be moving. Amen. If you're sitting there quiet, who knows if you're dead or alive or asleep or awake. I'm just preaching the word tonight. Brother Larry Joshua, he's alive. I know little man's alive because he's always moving. We could learn something from these children. I tell you, I begin to see the Word of God in a whole new light since I've had a child. Because it really begins to open up. Because we forget. When we were babes in Christ, we were willing to do anything. Say, Lord, if it means running around the church, run around the church. Let me be the one. But anymore, we say, Lord, you so-and-so. Help somebody else, Lord, to get in. But we've got to begin to realize that we are the patriarchs. We are the one that is supposed to lead the way. Amen. When the children of Israel, amen, were marching around. Amen. Amen. Jericho's great walls. It wasn't a bunch of kids in the front, but it was the leaders of the nation. We've got to begin to show them, amen, the way, the truth, and the life that is inside of us that's living, I mean, living and breathing and moving about to show what we've got. To show them the way. We find in Isaiah chapter 63 and verse 3, Sister Lindsay, if you'd come to the piano, says to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise. Hallelujah, there is a garment of praise that we are to grab a hold of as well and say hallelujah, thank you Jesus. Praise your holy name. Even though I had a flat tire today, even though sometimes we get injuries on the job, we've got to begin thankful. Be thankful for what he's done. Hallelujah. Oh God. Are you willing to be arrayed for the King? When we come into his house, we have come, amen, to give him something back. When men and women of days of old would go and visit a kingdom, they would go bearing gifts. They would not go empty-handed. Church, what tonight have you brought to the King? We find a widow woman Only all that she had, Brother Jason, was just a little bit. Sitting there around watching everybody put their money in the barrel. Jesus Christ said, that woman has gave more than all of them. I'm paraphrasing. Because she gave all that she had. Am I giving enough? We give our job 40 hours and sometimes 65 or 80 hours, Brother Jason. Because sometimes ours doesn't end when we get home. The work just starts. But when we come to the house, can we not give God, amen, an hour and a half or 3 hours? Amen. I can remember as a child, amen, sleeping under the pew because service would go 5 and 6 hours sometimes. We've lost our hunger. We've lost our garment. We simply say it's okay. We'll see what they used to see one of these days. That's what we want to do. But we're not willing to lift an ounce of energy compared to what they used to do. And we still expect the same results. We've got to wake up. Begin to have a desire for more. I'm afraid, church, if you'd everyone would stand. We bring our offerings, amen, of sacrifice to the altar. And when we get up, we take them back with us because we really don't want to surrender all. I'm here to tell you tonight, it's time to give all to Jesus. It's time that we take up the garment yet once again, and so that we can be endued with power. But that will only happen when we give it all. As she begins to sing and play this song, church, begin to find yourself, amen, inside your heart, those locked doors that you have placed, and say, this will not belong to God, it belongs to me. You've got to begin to open those doors and place those things, that merchandise that you hold dearer than the Holy Ghost. Place it on the altar. Because He wants nothing but all of you. He could care less about your stuff. Because once He has you, then you are an effective tool. Amen, church. Let's come around these altars tonight. Let's find ourselves a place to pray. Let the God of heaven begin to work and move.